receive Jesus as your Savior, He gives you a new spirit, His righteousness, and His anointing to be a witness. This anointing exchange also comes as you partner with those in the Fivefold Ministry. Now let's join Kenneth on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis first. We are going to be talking about the anointing exchange. The greatest exchange, or you could call it a trade, at Calvary's cross, Jesus exchanged His life for ours. Oh my. Ooh, my goosebumps are double parked. Glory to God. That'll make every hair on your body stand to attention. Woo, glory. Think about it. He was made to be sin with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God with His righteousness. He was cast out of the presence of God so that we could be welcomed there. The great exchange. Think about it and go through it and meditate on it a lot, because we are in Christ Jesus, right? But hey, that's not the end of it. He is in us. We're in Him. He's in us. We are robed in His righteousness. That is, and very well could be, the most misunderstood and the most least understood of all of the realities of redemption is that we are actually the righteousness of God in Him. Now, what does righteousness mean? A lot of people don't know what righteousness is. They get it confused with holiness. And if you just live right long enough, you could become righteous. No. The moment you got born again, you were made the righteousness of God. Now you can grow in it. Amen. But you can't get any more righteous than Jesus. That's about as righteous as you can get, right? Well, we are His righteousness in Him. Amen. Which means that a righteous consciousness should totally and completely replace a sin consciousness. A sin consciousness is continually identifying with Adam and the fall. I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so weak. Oh, we're so weak and we're so tired. No, not in Him. Now, in your own self, yeah. No one's worthy in themselves. But get out of yourself.
Amen.
Get out of your unworthy self. Amen. Get out of your mind.
Yes.
I've had people say to Copeland, "You're out of your mind." I said, "Don't bother me." I got completely out of my mind and I'm staying there. I'm not getting back over there in that mind business anymore. Glory to God. Yes, to renew that and subdue it to the spirit man and the righteousness of God. So that you and I can stand by invitation, by the way. Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain. Come obtain. Boldly come. Why? You own it. Amen. Come boldly to the throne of grace without a sense of guilt or shame. I want to mention this to you. This is not a message, but the Lord brought it up to me. He bore. We know he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's not all he bore. He bore our sins. He bore our griefs. He bore our sickness. He bore our sorrows. He bore our pains. He bore our weakness. But listen, he bore our reproach. He bore our shame. And I don't care. I don't care how deep a sin you've been in. Hey, get out of it. Repent. But don't repent. There's not anything wrong with coming to the Lord and weeping before him and praising him, but hey, dry up your tears. Dry up your tears. The moment you confess that sin, it's over. He's already forgiven and forgotten. The problem is you still carrying it around. The shame, get rid of the shame. Don't start that. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. No. He bore your shame. He bore your reproach. What happened yesterday is dead and gone. You can't change it. Huh? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord of today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your joy. I don't care how many times you've been divorced. I don't care what you've done. That is yesterday. You can't change it. But you can get out of it. You can get away from it. It can get completely out of you and away from you. But you have to do it by faith. You believe, you receive your forgiveness when you confess it, not 2 or 3 weeks later after you feel better about it. Your feelings don't have anything to do with anything anyway. Amen. Shut them down.
Amen. Come on.
Just shut them down. Amen. Glory Amen. To God. Amen. Welcome the good feelings and shut that other stuff down. Amen. Don't let your feelings tell you what is and what isn't.
That's right.
Feelings are fickle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the reason the devil works on you all the time, trying to change the way you feel about something. If you'll follow your feelings, you'll follow him. Amen. Well, that's good. Praise the Lord. That's not what I came to preach this morning, but it'll work. Hallelujah. Okay, the book of Genesis. And we'll go to the 12th chapter. We're going to be talking about the anointing exchange, and that anointing exchange comes through partnership. Now, I realize that partnership has been used as just a money-raising tool. But there is far more to it. In fact, partnership begins... Let me share something with you. Money is the lowest form of power there is. It is powerful. Amen? It is power. It has a certain amount of power. But it's the lowest form of power there is. The highest form of power there is prayer. Amen. So, the the becoming covenant partner. How many of you are married? You are a covenant partner. That's the reason that the marriage ceremony. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why it's just a piece of paper. No, it is not a piece of paper. They are words. Words. This is a word-created, word-dominated environment. Amen. God created this whole thing with words. It's being upheld by the word of His power. And the power of death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are the most important thing in this entire universe. Amen. They have the highest priority. Words are not primarily for communication. Words are primarily for the release of power. And communication then is secondary. So the marriage covenant is a picture of a person being born again and being made one with Jesus. That's the reason it is called a marriage. And there's a marriage supper coming up here, not all that far away. Boy, can you imagine dinner for 7 years? Whoa. Hallelujah. Anyway, no, you can't imagine it. But so the marriage covenant itself is a mirror image of that. Two people being made one by words spoken in faith before God. Now, when a partnership is made, then there are certain exchanges. In times of old, the covenant was made between two families, and there was a lot of time spent on this before before the animal was killed and before the blood was spilled. There was a lot of time and agreement that went into this because these two families are becoming one and their names come together and become one. So there is an exchange that goes before that. An exchange of properties, an exchange of names. All of that in covenant, partnership, very important. All right, 12th chapter of Genesis, are you there? Yes. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now notice this. The third verse is partnership. Now remember, he said, I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. All and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I will bless them that help you bless the nations. You see it? You can see the exchange there? In other words, they'd be just as blessed as you are. I'm blessing him, but then when you join him, when you help him bless, the same blessing that I've put on him, come on you.
Amen.
Not a lesser blessing. The blessing of Abraham. It's the same blessing. It's still here today. Third chapter of the book of Galatians. Jesus was made a curse for us, for cursed is, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and me. We're no longer Gentiles. The word Gentile just simply means one without God. We were Gentiles, but when we partnered with Jesus, amen, we were born again. We were made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and heaven sees us as Jews. We've been grafted in.
Amen. Glory to God.
We've been grafted in. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you, it's already time to shout. But can you see, can you see, let me read it like this. I will bless them that bless you. I will bless them that help you bless. And those that try to stop you from being blessed, I'll stop them. Yeah, I'll stop them. That's what the word curse means. Stop. Stop that blessing. That's what they're trying to do, is stop the blessing. So God said, okay, I'll stop you. Partnership. You partner with Abraham, you get blessed. Amen. All right. Let's go over now to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And we'll notice at the 40th verse, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. I mean, can you see that? That's partnership. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We're talking about anointing here now. One translation said, he that receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. You could say it like this, and we'll see it in the scripture later. You become a partner with a prophet because he is a prophet, then you receive that prophet's anointing, his reward. You receive that anointing in your life. Hallelujah.
My name's Fred Roy. I'm from Loudoun, New Hampshire, and this is my son, Zachariah James Roy. I trusted him because he was a Christian. I'm like, you know, hey, I did the best I can. Here's your tools, you know, take on life.
I was actually 19 years old the first time I ever tried heroin.
And that heroin is just such a selfish drug.
It destroys you. It eats every bit of goodness out of your life. I did things that I can't believe I've ever done.
I got a phone call that he was doing very bad. They had him in the emergency room, and they were bag, squeezing the air bag for oxygen. They estimate that he was flatlined for at least a half an hour. They put him in a self-induced coma to protect his body and brain. If he would survive, he'd probably be a vegetable, definitely wheelchair bound, maybe can talk one day, maybe hand movement, you know. And through those few days, the next few days, you know, there was progress. You know, his eyes could move, he could move his head. He told my wife, his mother, that, you know, he loved her. You know, he spoke. And then a couple of days went by and the talking stopped. Nothing really improved. You know, the doctors came to us and said his intestines stopped working. His stomach was pumping backwards, yeah. The food in his belly backwards, so he would throw up. Told us that they needed to do an emergency surgery, removing his intestines, putting him on the bag, putting a feed tube in him. And I had to make a decision. And I told my wife, I go, I'm okay with being the bad guy here. I go, I don't want you to think that you have anything part of this decision to putting your son to death. I go, but I will not have my son be a vegetable. One day, he wasn't talking, but he would look at me, and I was looking for an answer. You know, I'm like, Zach, I'll be your bad guy. I'll make your decision. I'm like, look at this hand, look at this hand. You know, heaven or surgery, what do you want? Help me make this decision. And he looked at me and he goes, is there any other choice? And I'm like, what? I'm like, Zach, I need to send you someplace. Are we gonna go to surgery or are we gonna go to heaven? It took him a few times. And again, the nurses were in the room and it's logged in their report. And he goes, I want to be a soldier for the Lord and go to heaven. So I refused the surgery. I signed the paper saying, you know, coding him, pretty much starving him to death. Again, taking guidance and wisdom from friends, you know, from Kenneth Copeland. A lot of times I would just, Michael Flowers, you know, I would call Michael and he knew the situation. And I'm like, Mike, it's Fred. I go, can't talk. And he just start preaching to me. And because I couldn't talk, you know?
And so I would just agree with him in prayer that that they were going to come through this as a family one way or another. I asked Fred, what are you believing for? What is it? How can I pray for you? How can I stand in faith with you? And he said, I just know my son, and he would not want to live like this. And so we have decided to let him go. And I said, well, Fred, we serve a mighty God, and we serve a healing God. And you have sowed so much seed over the years with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, with your pastor, connected in your church and with this ministry. You have tither's rights. You and your family will live.
We got a letter from the state saying that me and my wife, we were being taken to court because we were unfit guardians. You know, the system was against us, the legal system. This judge heard from God, she really did. And she's like, Mr. Roy, will you allow your son to be mouth-fed? And I'm like, Judge, you don't understand. His intestines isn't working. His stomach can't receive food. He gets sick. And she goes, Mr. Roy, she said it again, Mr. Roy, will you allow your son to be mouth-fed? And I'm like, if it means me keeping guardianship of my son, keeping him out of the state's hands, I will do what I have to do. And she says, fine. And later that evening, we were granted custody of Zach. The next night, his hands start moving. Days later, you know, he's moving around. His legs are moving. He stands up. He's walking with help constantly. little baby steps. And now they're snowballing and getting bigger. But it was like a 7-week period from death, coming in this building on a stretcher with an airbag on you being pumped, to walking out the exit door.
I can still remember the first day walking out of there, I had a smile on my face.
Monday morning, he's at work, you know, hard hat on, and every morning he got up and we went to work. And he progressed, he did better.
I can't believe the guy who I was. I'm very grateful today because I am clean now, and I'm very grateful to say that heroin doesn't have a grasp on me anymore.
I found my way of life now, and making sure I don't put him through and my mother through what I put them through and everyone I care about through.
Today on the broadcast, my grandfather, Brother Copeland, talked to us from the Word about the anointing that was on Jesus. Now today, every born-again believer can receive the same anointing that was on him, to be free and to set others free. You know, you're anointed not just for you. The anointing is on you, working through you for other people. That's why this gift that we're giving you today is entitled The Power of the Anointing. It's a 2-CD set by Kenneth Copeland. And in this, you're going to learn what the anointing is on your life. And here's what's important. How do you protect it? How do you grow in it? And let God's anointing set you completely free from every bondage of the devil and learn how to walk in freedom. If you want this, and I know you do, order your free copy today at kcm.org. You know, the KCM website has so many resources that are there for one reason, to help build you up in faith. And among them is a devotional entitled From Faith to Faith. And this is a daily devotional written by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, where they're going to share with you what they've learned on a daily basis about how to walk with God, how to walk in the Word, how to put faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in His Word. And it's going to encourage you. It's going to strengthen you. You need to get a hold of this. Enjoy this devotional From Faith to Faith. Thanks so much for watching today. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Visit our website, kcm.org, to watch the broadcast. You can also request today's free offer or a free copy of today's broadcast on DVD, CD, or digital download. Shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or our YouTube channel. Keep your faith strong with the Word and expect to see the manifestations of the Holy Ghost and fire.